day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the NTRA Road to the Triple Crown and the Dubai World Cup 2018 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, participants are asked to press star one to register for a question. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Jim Mulvihill. Please go ahead.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to this week's teleconference. We'll be with you the next few weeks to preview all of the biggest Kentucky Derby prep races. Before we get to the Florida Derby at Gulfstream Park, first today we want to touch on the Dubai World Cup from Maidan. They've got their big Derby prep, of course, in the UAE Derby, but then the feature will be the $10 million Dubai World Cup. We're very fortunate to be joined by Dallas Stewart, who's in Dubai already, and we're going to talk about his Breeders' Cup Distaff winner and champion mare Forever Unbridled. Let's check in with Dallas. Dallas, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. We know it's a little bit later over there, but we appreciate your time as always. First of all, we now know that this is going to be Forever Unbridled's last start. She doesn't have anything left to prove on the racetrack. What can you tell us about Mr. Fipke's decision to breed her this year and then also to race her one last time in this spot?
Yeah, he's a breeder, and I'm pretty sure that that's going to be his decision. I guess people can always change their mind, but that's to my understanding, that's what's going to happen. She's had a great career, and we hope we can cap it off. It's going to be a great race. She's doing very well over here. I'm very happy with her.
The word is she's going to be bred to Medaglia d'Oro. How does it make you feel knowing that this is probably it and she'll be leaving your barn after Saturday?
Yeah, I really hadn't thought about it a whole lot. Maybe it just hadn't hit me, but we're just focused up on training her right now, trying to win this race. It's the main thing I got on my mind.
Excellent. Well, we'll hope that you'll train some of her offspring just like you did with Lemons Forever, and hopefully that'll help. Dallas, hang on, and I'm going to check with the media and see what questions they've got for you.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question over the phone at this time, please press star and then one on your touch-tone phone. Please ensure your mute function is turned off so the signal can reach our equipment. Again, that is star and then one. Our first question comes from Art Wilson from the Southern California News Group.
Yeah, Dallas, you worked for D'Wayne Lucas for many years, and he was never shy about running the colts against the fillies. In your experiences, what qualifies a filly or mare to run against the boys?
Well, they have to be an exceptional mare, an exceptional filly, in my mind, to take on the boys. Speaking as for her, Forever Unbridled, she seems to have the grit and the talent to be able to compete with these horses. Given said that, I think we'll get a little break in the weight, so we'll get a little weight off, so that'll be good. It's never easy, I can tell you that, when you take the girls against the boys. It's always tough. It seems to be. She's doing very well, so we'll just have to see how she does.
Of course, in Europe, it's a lot more commonplace when they run the girls against the boys.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that.
Do you think in the States we're a little too conservative, or what's your thoughts on that?
Well, there's just a lot of filly races. You just don't have to do it. There's divisions for every kind of races that you want to run in, long, short, grass, dirt. Surely you don't have to, but this is just a situation where $10 million race, so we just thought we'd give it a shot.
Right. Okay. Well, good luck, Dallas.
Thank you, Art. Thank you.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star and then one if you would like to ask a question from Dallas Stewart today. We'll take our next question from Danny Brewer from horseracingscoop.com.
Dallas, how is everything?
Good. We're doing well over here. Philly, she's doing great, the mare.
Now, like most girls, she likes to travel. She last year, all of her races were at different tracks and winds and all that stuff. This is a little bit different. How has she taken to this, you think?
Well, you know, I put in a few videos on Twitter about her. I put one on there today. You ought to see her just in a stall, just bucking and kicking and just getting down and rolling. And she's just very happy. So, I mean, that's what we look for when we're training them, trying to keep them fit and happy. So I think we've got a good combination of that right now.
When you think about her and what she did last year, what's the biggest thing that sticks out to you in those accomplishments?
Well, she didn't get started until late. She made her first start in June. She won that. Then she won the very next race. She beat a champion. She beat Songbird. And then she traveled out to out to the West Coast, which isn't never really easy going east to west, but didn't bother her at all. So, those three races were pretty phenomenal, I thought. So, and she's held her fitness good. She's, knock on wood, she's good and sound, and she looks to me like she's getting ready to run again. She feels good.
Awesome. Dallas, appreciate your time. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star and then one if you'd like to ask a question. And it appears we have no further questions at this time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, Dallas, Dallas, you got time for a couple follow-ups?
Sure.
All right. I just wanted to get a little bit more into why this race, if you don't mind. I mean, aside from the large purse and her talent, she certainly fits the race. But, when people look around at all the opportunities that are out there, I mean, she could have been favored in a race like the Apple Blossom or – tried mail.
Well, she won that already.
Purse out
she's
in the big.
She won that. She's won that already. So that's one reason. And then if he wants to breed her, then you're getting a little bit late. Timing wise, this works out. Good as far as the breeding aspect of it. And it's just a great race. I mean, it's one of the. Why not give her a shot? It's just a great race. If she wins it, I mean, in my mind, if she wins this, she's gone in the Hall of Fame. And they're going to put her mother in there, too. So, I mean, she's just talking about a phenomenal accomplishment. So that's a lot of things. Did Mr. Fippy really like the race? He loves Dubai, so he thought he would give it a shot. So there you go.
Excellent. And then before we let you go, just to shift gears a little bit, I was just wondering if you had any thoughts you wanted to share on Mr. Benson. I know you've trained for him, and you're as big of a Saints fan as out there. So, think of our New Orleans folks and some NFL writers.
Yeah.
Some thoughts on Mr. Benson.
Yeah, it was a tough couple weeks. Mr. Benson fought that flu for a long time, and I'm sure it wore everybody down. And it's just a Lord Simon, and Miss Benson looks like she's doing well. I've seen her on a couple of videos, and so she's marching on and full steam ahead. And I'm glad of that. And Mr. Benson was so nice to me to give me a job. Anybody that wants to give me a job, I'm just, very happy to have an opportunity to work for people. And, he just called me out of the blue and hired me and gave me a job. And I was able to win some nice races for him. So just a terrific man and a terrific guy for the city, a very generous man. Loved to win and loved to compete. And, he's going to be missed by a lot of people. In New Orleans. I mean, it's unreal how much they loved him and how much he did for that city. So it was a great time to work for him. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to continue to work for Miss Benson, and hope I have a lot of success for her also.
Excellent. Well, thanks for those thoughts, and Dallas, we wish you luck on Saturday. Can't wait to see how it goes with Forever Unbridled.
Thank you so much.
All right, Dallas Stewart, one of the big stories going into this weekend's Dubai World Cup Carnival. There's about 15 U.S. based horses out there that made the trip, including West Coast, Mind Your Biscuits, Roy H., Richard's Boys, Stormy Liberal, XY Jet. So a lot of great American horses over there at Maidan this week, and be sure to follow those races. They'll be Saturday morning from the UAE. But now we want to get back to the road to the Triple Crown in the Florida. And our next guest is going to be Dale Romans. The Florida Derby has produced the winners of the last two Kentucky Derbies between Always Dreaming and Nyquist, and three of the last five, and when you add in Orb in 2013. This year's field has five graded stakes winners, including the Holy Bull winner in Audible, the Remsen winner in Catholic Boy, and the Fountain of Youth winner in Promises Fulfilled, who's trained by Dale Romans. So I'll check in with Dale now, and let's see if we got him on the line. Dale, are you there?
Hello. Hello?
All right.
Hello?
Hey,
yeah.
Dale.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thanks for being here.
Okay. No problem.
All right. It's Jim Mulvihill, and you're on us with the on the NTRA National Media Teleconference. We want to talk about your two in the Florida Derby on Saturday, not just Promises Fulfilled, but also Storm Runner. But let's start with Promises Fulfilled, if you don't mind, who won the Fountain of Youth pretty convincingly. It was his first start as a three-year-old. Just tell us what impressed you about that effort.
Well, just the fact it was his first start, and for all that speed to be in that race, and for him just to push the gas from gate to wire and be drawn off at the end and galloping out strong afterwards. I mean, I think anyone had to be impressed with him.
Yeah, absolutely, and it was surprisingly easy for him. You know, off of a big effort like that in a seasonal debut, there's always a little bit of a fear of a regression. Talk about his work on Saturday, which you seemed pretty impressed by.
It is. It's very impressive. He just does whatever you want him to do, and he's just a horse in the barn that you don't even know there's no issues, and goes out there and takes care of his business. And, you know, he actually should be undefeated. And if you go back and watch the
right.
Jockey Club at Churchill, I mean, he's getting out every step of the way, almost to the point of trying to bolt and still run his third. I've never seen a horse use up that much energy fighting his rider. And it wasn't his fault. He popped a splint in the race and fighting his rider like that and still finish up as well as he did. And everybody around him that were running through the straight backed up, and he was only speed to keep going. And but he, you know, he came out of that race. We worked on the splint. And for him to come back, and he missed quite a bit of time during the winter, and for him to come back and run like he did in the Fountain of Youth really impressed me. You know, he is a May foal.
Like
coming around.
Excellent.
Hello?
And it seems like, you know, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Okay, great. Well, let's just move on to Storm Runner then real quick. He had according to the chart, he had a tough trip in the Fountain of Youth. It says he steadied early. Although it's not apparent when you watch the replay. Just tell me what you saw and what Joel had to say about that trip.
If you watch the replay up to about the half mile pole, that's where the problems were. When Joel just started letting him try to get him to run up inside of Promises Fulfilled when there wasn't a place to go. I mean, I don't know why he did it, and all he could do was throw it afterwards. It was just a bad run. This is a momentum type horse. You don't want to grab him and try to restart him. And you know, I took Texas back a few years ago with Shackleford. He won the same allowance race. And came back and ran terrible in the Fountain of Youth and comes back and gets beat ahead in the Florida Derby. And that made, you know, all the difference in his career that we decided to hang on. We're in the car. We don't want to go in my garage or lose. So Shackleford is a very similar situation. Hopefully he'll come back and run like Shaq did in his Florida Derby.
That would be great. Well, yeah. Dale, I want to take up all the questions, so let's see what the media's got for you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question from Mr. Dale Romans, please press star 1 at this time. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We'll take our first question from Danny Brewer from horseracingscoop.com.
Imagine that. Danny, what's up, buddy?
It's your favorite Dale, Billy. What's up, Dale?
What's up, buddy?
All right, so
give me a good question,
whenever promises fulfilled was turning for home in the Fountain of Youth, was it a little bit of deja vu? Did you think you saw his pappy out there when he was running? Because the Joker runs strong, and just like his daddy, were you really impressed with him? And what were you thinking?
Yeah, I thought he's a lot like his father. Of course, the Fountain of Youth, his father ran terrible, so it wasn't deja vu for the Fountain of Youth, but. No, he reminded me of his dad. He reminds me of his dad all the time because they both had that stamina, but they had the speed to go with it. And when you can run fast early and just keep on going, it's just pure special horse. I've only had a few of them in my life, Jackal for Rosen and May, a few of those horses that would just go to the front and they could clip off 12s every furlong. And you'd be damned if you did and damned if you didn't, go with them.
Now, Shaq had a deal where he would work himself up and he would get all hot and bothered almost looking, but the Joker would run lights out. Do you see the same thing from this horse, or is he a little different?
He's a little more calm. He's not quite as hyped up as his daddy. Shaq was, everybody made a lot of deal about him sweating all the time and stuff, but he was just a horse that got hot and was on his toes all the time. But this horse a little more laid back. He's still got a nice energy about him, but he's a little more laid back. But he's a good horse, and he's the flows that his daddy have, he doesn't have. So never very few, but he doesn't have them.
Keeneland opens next week. Obviously, you look forward to that. Is Free Drop Billy, is he going in the Bluegrass, or have you made a decision there yet?
Yeah, he'll go in the Bluegrass. You know, he won the Futurity, so the Bluegrass will, the obvious place for him. He likes a racetrack. And, you know, with this ownership group, we've twice won the Futurity and Bluegrass back-to-back with the same horse and hopefully do it again.
Dale, I appreciate your time, man. You know, I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Danny.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star and then 1 if you would like to ask a question today. We'll take our next question from Art Wilson with the Southern California News Group.
Yeah, Dale, I was interested in your thoughts on the qualifying point system for the Derby. Do you like it? Don't like it? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I'm indifferent about it, to tell you the truth. I didn't see a problem with the old system. I don't see the way it would have excluded many horses or included many horses. It has kind of taken away from the speed, the cheap speed in the Kentucky Derby. You know, horses that weren't a 2 spread and they don't get to get in. But there's a piece of it that I don't like, and that's always the discussion of whether or not the best 3-year-old filly will show up in the Derby or run in the Oaks. And you really don't have that opportunity to talk about it anymore unless they're willing to take the boys on earlier.
Right, right.
Whether they ran or not, I always enjoyed the discussion.
Yeah, no, I agree. And looking around the rest of the country, the preps that you've observed throughout the country, anybody caught your eye, any of the 3-year-olds other than yours that you're impressed with?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of good ones out there. I'll tell you, too, I like McKenzie a lot. I think he's a solid horse. And both yours are a fine horse. Those two Californians are good. Magna Moon's a good horse. That's a bunch of good ones out there, but I haven't seen one that I thought dominated the crop yet. And, Justified, he's good. But to bring them into the great thing about the Kentucky Derby is it takes all the regions that are out there and the best of each one of them, and they're like the top 3 of each one of them. They come together for the Derby and sell who's the best. And it's that's what makes the Derby so special. It's really the first time that they'll all come together.
Right. Okay. Well, best of luck to you, Dale.
Thank you.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star and then 1 if you would like to ask a question today.
That's an easy day. 2 questions.
Yeah. Apparently
and
so.
And there are no further questions at this time.
All right.
All right. Well, Dale, before we let you go, I just wanted to What's that?
I said, then I'm going to the beach.
Well, do you have time to give us some quick updates on some of the other three-year-olds that have Derby points, but
sure.
We'd like to know maybe where they stand right
yep.
now. So you got the two that came out of the Sunland Derby?
Both MSA are off Derby trail right now. The fourth place finisher, he might try the Pat Day mile or the Lexington. And with Hollywood, I don't know. We just got to figure out why he's running so poorly. He's a really good horse, and he just has not done well this year. So we're trying to figure him out. And,
King
Zachary, I think my new sleeper, he's the horse probably made out here by 8. He was going in the wood.
Ah, okay. Very good.
And what else we got? Tis Mischief
in the Tampa Bay Derby.
Yeah. Tis Mischief and Free Drop Billy are both running the Bluegrass.
Okay, excellent. All right, well, Dale, enjoy the beach.
All right.
For the updates.
Thanks for calling. Sounds good.
All right. One of our favorite and most frequent guests here, Dale Romans, who's going to run two in the Florida Derby on Saturday. And it's actually a really nice field coming together for that race. And we've got one of the other trainers represented in there in Mark Hennig. This is his first time on an NTRA teleconference, I believe. But he should be no stranger to a lot of you participating in the call. Mark's won more than 1,300 races in the past 25 years. That includes some grade ones with the likes of Star of Cozine, Personal Hope, Raging Fever, Gigastar, and Eddington. Saturday, he'll saddle Strike Power, who was an easy winner of the Swale in February. That race was 7/8, but then he followed that up with a good second in the Fountain of Youth behind Promises Fulfilled. So now let's check in with Mark Hennig. Mark, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. It's Jim Alderhill from the NTRA. Thanks. Yeah, I can hear you. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Oh, it's our pleasure. Can you just maybe start with some impressions of the Fountain of Youth, the top three in there? They pretty much held their position all the way around, and I find it hard to figure out what a race like that means. So tell us what you took away from that race.
Well, that happens more often than not here at Gulfstream. You watch a lot of races here, so it's not totally surprising. But I think that, you know, the takeaway was that, you know, maybe the pace wasn't the fastest pace in the world. So I think it was, you know, it's hard for those horses trying to close. But this track can play that way, especially on big days. And, you know, I thought our horse first time around, two turns, ran a credible race. I mean, we keep kind of throwing new things at him. And finally, this time, we're going to at least we're adding a 16th of a mile rather than 3/16ths of a mile. And at least it'll feel like similar type of race for him.
Very good. And how about just since the Fountain of Youth, his training, tell us about his development this year up to this point.
Well, I think he's done well. You know, he's a late April foal, and I think he's really developed since that race and as he's been here this winter. I mean, from the horse I brought down here in December to what he is today, I mean, he's just a horse that continues to go forward. And, you know, I think he's getting a little more ranginess to him. He's done extremely well here.
Excellent. Well, I've got a few other questions, but maybe I'll hold them and I'll see what the media's got for you first in case they've got any. So let's give them a chance. I'll kick it back to the operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star and then one. Again, if you'd like to ask a question from Mark Hennig at this time, please press star one. And we'll take our first question from Art Wilson from the Southern California News Group.
Yeah, Mark, what are your feelings about the Derby qualifying point system that's in place right now? Do you like it, don't like it? What are your feelings?
I think, in as far as we go this year, you know, if our horse belongs, he's going to have the points, you know. So I think it's set up to you know, get the horses in that fit in the race. You know, certainly bad luck can get in the way, and, you know, a horse can wind up with just under the border, but I think, you know, it's never going to be a perfect system, and you know, I'm sure they're going to have to tweak it at times, but you know, it's going to work for us if we're capable.
Dale Romans brought up an interesting point earlier on the call where it's kind of taken the new system has kind of taken out the interesting debates about whether the top fillies should go in the Derby, with unless the fillies run against the boys in some of these earlier Derby preps, they can't really qualify for the Derby. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, personally, I mean, it would take an exceptional filly for me to even consider something like that. So, I mean, I'm kind of a believer that fillies should run with fillies and boys should run with boys. But, you know, especially that early in the year, I mean, I can see, you know, coming down to the end of a horse's career, like Forever Unbridled Saturday, taking a shot in the Dubai World Cup. You know, she's done all she can do against fillies and mares. And, you know, I understand the sportsmanship involved, and if that's what they want to do, great. But I, you know, for me, I'm comfortable with doing it the way we have. And that's coming from a guy that, you know, worked for Wayne when we had Winning Colors that won the Derby. So she was a different stature of filly. She was bigger than probably the biggest horse in the race that day. So, you know, I just think, you know, for me, I'm comfortable with, if I had a filly capable, I'm comfortable with running in the Oaks.
And in looking across the country at some of the Derby preps we've seen so far, and your observations, anybody caught your eye? Anybody, the rest of the country that's impressed you, Mark?
Oh, sure. I thought Todd Torres, the one down in Fairgrounds, is very impressive. Magnum Moon, I think the horses in California ran a bang up race there. You know, in the race with the DQ, those are certainly nice horses. And so, I mean, I think, like every year, you know, you don't know until we get them all together on the first Saturday in May which crop is really, or where the depth is, and you know, who they're facing. And then, even then, you know, you never know. A lot can happen. It can be sloppy and throw everything out the window for those horses that have never run in it.
Right, right. Okay. Well, hey, good luck on Saturday, Mark.
Thank you, sir.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star and then one if you would like to ask a question at this time. And there appear to be no further questions at this time.
All right, Mark, before we let you go, I just wanted to ask you a little bit more about the potential shape of this race on Saturday. We talked about how the Fountain of Youth was, you know, the top three just going around there. I'm curious if in that race, were you hoping to get the lead? Was Promises Fulfilled just faster out of the gate, or did you want to try and settle behind a horse and see how that went?
Well, we had talked about, you know, I had breezed him from behind horses prior to the Fountain of Youth just in the event. I mean, I felt like, you know, you got a three-year-old that's relatively lightly raced and doesn't have a lot of experience. He's not going to be on the lead every step of every race in his life. So, you know, I mean, we basically came away thinking if somebody wanted to go, I wasn't necessarily convinced it was going to be that horse, but I thought if somebody really, really commits and our horse falls into the first turn comfortable and wants to sit off of a horse, he can do it. And I think he showed that. With that said, I don't think he broke his sharp on in the Fountain of Youth. You know, as he had been, and I think part of that was due to just being in front of the grandstand, and he was a little distracted on the day, basically, first time with that large of a crowd. So, you know, I think for a horse that's slightly experienced with that race under his belt, I would anticipate him being a lot sharper leaving there. And, you know, if he is, we're certainly not going to take anything away from him.
And finally, you know, he would probably, the way it's looking now, need a few more points to make it to the Kentucky Derby, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but can you just talk about what that would mean to you and to make it back again?
Well, I think everybody that's in the game, you know, strives to go there and run well. You know, I think we would have to win or run, you know, a very competitive second to consider going forward. I mean, we know we've got a very nice horse on our hands. We're not going to just go to the Derby for the experience. We've been in the game long enough that we don't need that experience.
Wait, what did you say?
I say we don't, you know, if we're on the borderline of points and we're just trying to stagger in there with third place points and, you know, it's just not something, you know, it's been discussed with Mr. Adam and I know he and Mr. Adam want to do what's in the best interest of the horse in the long run. And if he, you know, if there's an indication that it's not in his best interest to go there, we're not going to take up a space in the gate just to hear our name called.
Well, that's the right perspective and one that we applaud, but hopefully that's not a decision you have to make. Hopefully you run
exactly.
1-2 on Saturday and have a contender.
Yeah, he's going to make it for us. So we're very confident in the horse and the way he's doing. And, you know, we'll just lead him over there Saturday. And I think at the end of the day, we'll know what direction we're headed.
Yeah, very good. Well, Mark, thanks for the time today. We wish you luck on Saturday and can't wait to see what you got in strike power.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Mark Hennig, the last of our guests on today's teleconference. And we had a chance to preview the Florida Derby and talk a little bit about the Dubai World Cup. I want to thank our guests again for joining us, Mark Hennig, Dale Romans. We also had Dallas Stewart checking in from Dubai, and we appreciate all their time. If you have any questions, feel free to contact Joan Lawrence or myself. We'll have a transcript up of this tomorrow and a recording as well. And with that, thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week with another Road to the Triple Crown teleconference.
And once again, that concludes today's conference. We appreciate your participation today.